All right, we come to the end of the little series we've been dealing with, Finding God's Will for Your Life. Again, adapted from Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer. We've looked at God is our guide, and God's wisdom and ours. Under that, encouragements to seek wisdom, prerequisites for gaining wisdom, which were reverence for God and receiving God's word. We closed then with point C and on, God's gift of wisdom. God's gift of wisdom, he has promised that, the one prayer request he will never say no to. Wisdom is not knowing everything. Wisdom is not having a huge amount of academic knowledge. Wisdom is having the skill to accomplish the things that God has for you to do when with the knowledge that you have. So what is it not? God sees the whole picture and purpose of life and history. Gaining the wisdom of God does not mean that we see as he sees. We don't understand everything. The wisest of men have no insight into God's providence or sovereignty. He does not take us into his confidence and reveal his purposes. Every unusual thing that happens to you is not a signal from God about the future. So you're not lifted into the clouds when you get the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is primarily dealing with God giving you the skillfulness to deal with life here. So what is it? Learning to drive a car involves learning to match speed with road conditions, as earlier today, out on the road, and having a proper response to everything around you. You do not ask why the road is narrow or why has it suddenly become a series of twists and turns. That's not what you do when you're driving. What's the meaning of this? You see? You simply adjust to the road and the conditions. Living wisely is like driving wisely. You keep your eyes and mind alert to what is happening. You have been taught the correct principles of life. You apply them in an ever-changing path. He'll set it before you, testing your ability to apply what you have been taught. So we're going to give ourselves a little slap in the face of reality here. Point D, the pattern of Ecclesiastes. Bum, 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 bum. The author, God speaks in Ecclesiastes as the mature teacher giving a young disciple the fruits of his long experience and reflection. He wants the youth to live in the real world and not in a dream world. What is the message? Take off your rose-colored glasses, see things according to the truth of God. Let's see things the way they really are. What does that involve? A realistic view of the world. Number one, endless and seemingly aimless cycles. Just go through things over and over and over again. Ecclesiastes 1, 4 to 7. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. It's the way it works. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth. The sun goeth down and hasteth or panteth to his place where he arose. Hurry up, get under the earth there and come back up the other side. The wind goes toward the south, turneth about in the north, whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again. The water cycle, the earth. They return to go. They only come back to go again. So we are in a world beset by cycles, never-ending cycles. And they would seem to us to be of no purpose, just keep on going. A second reality. You have no control over times and circumstances. Hold your breath. Won't change the sun coming up, sun coming down, or the snow coming down. Nice. Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. Hebrew literally to bear the child. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. And a time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing or to be far from somebody. A time to get or to seek. And a time to lose. A time to keep. And a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. You see, we are not controlling these things. These are the seasons that happen. And you live long enough, and you'll find examples of each and every one of these, perhaps all of them. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Often it is. Not always. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. The thing is, and maybe you say, I don't like the word chance. Well, that's the point, that it seems like chance to us. It's unplanned, not always following a cause and effect thing as far as we can see. So we need to accept that. The third realistic thing, death comes to all with no regard to what they deserve. Ecclesiastes 7:15, all things that I have seen in the days of my vanity, there is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. It happens, see? Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge or casting off of weapons in that war, the war against death. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Again, men die like beasts, whether they are good or bad. You know, it's a thing that dawns upon you that all animal life on this earth are alike. We live, we eat, we breed, we die. Ecclesiastes 3:19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. As far as this life is concerned, you live until you die. Again, evil runs rampant and wicked men prosper. It happens. Ecclesiastes 3:16. Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Ecclesiastes 4:1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side or the hand of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. We see this all over the world. Ecclesiastes 5:8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. Marvel not at the will. Marvel not at the purpose. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. The answer is coming. The vengeance is coming. but not by you, not by others on this earth. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. All of our heartbreaking stories of people that had been wronged by our legal system has led a legal system to be a place where the man who has done wrong is not convinced that he's going to have to pay for it. Ecclesiastes 9:3. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. The way of things. Sixth, you realize you cannot figure out God's order of events. You can catch on to the way God normally works. But James tells us, we don't know what happens on the morrow. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Doesn't matter how smart you are, what a student of history or whatever, you can't figure it out. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Well, he's made the way of things, you can't change it. Ecclesiastes 8:17, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, fool himself, yet he shall not be able to find it. You can't find that secret key that unlocks how things are going to be. In Ecclesiastes 11:5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Well, you say, that's not a pretty picture. No. But it's reality. It is the world into which we've been born. It is a world, a present evil world, that has been dominated by sin. This has led to a wrong view of the world. Many a learned person has come to the conclusion of Solomon, but the problem is they don't know that there is a God to whom it all makes sense. A God who's restraining the effects of evil. A God who is limiting what evil choices can bring about. They gave up on life, believing it to be senseless. You have Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, there is no God. The God that people invented is dead. We need to jettison the God, which many of you ignoramuses have tried to do, but you've tried to keep morality. You cannot get rid of God and keep his morality. I can't imagine that he could imagine what he was talking about. But we've seen some of this in Bentley, Kentucky. 15-year-old walks in, starts shooting people. 2 dead, 5 critically wounded, last I heard. Wrong view of the world. It's just senseless. Why should I raise a family or start a business? Such pessimism comes as a result of the unrealistic optimism of expecting to find the divine purpose of everything. Such pessimism, however, is a wrong view of the world. On the other hand, there's a pretended view of the world. And your spirit-led people seemingly claim this. Many a mature believer takes another wrong turn. He begins to pretend that since he walks with God, he does indeed know the secret purposes of God. Perhaps a spiritual reputation urges us to pretend. This is a lie, even if it is a self-deception. It is also very dangerous. When some unexpected, painful, unexplainable event occurs, we are laid bare as a false prophet. Our pride is wounded. The person often sinks into a hard-hearted, joyless existence. He feels God has failed him. The truth is that God, in his wisdom, to make us humble. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are to stay humble before God. God has hidden from us almost everything that we might like to know, we might want to know about his providential purposes. Ecclesiastes 11:5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You do not know the works of God. So don't pretend that you do. Very short close here, a wise view of the world. What does the preacher of Ecclesiastes tell us that wisdom is? He outlines it in this way, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The translators say this could read, the end of the matter, even all that hath been heard, is, da-da-da, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. A lot of talking to come down to those two phrases, isn't it? Fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now, this means you recognize there is a God. You recognize who this God is because you read his word. And then you fear him. You keep his commandments. And you recognize that's your whole duty. You have to live through this rough world, through this tough life, all the way through Ecclesiastes. Rich man Solomon, rich king, richer than we can begin to grasp, comes back to this one thought. What's really good? Eat and drink what's put before you at supper time. Relax from the work of your hands. Enjoy the work you do. That's it. It's not about being a king or whatever, you know. Sitting down to a good meal, perhaps with sweet family, and making the best of what you have. Fear God, keep his commandments. Trust and obey. Reverence him and live according to his word. Worship him and humbly do what he asks. This fulfills God's will. You have found God's will.